So what does it take to be a successful entrepreneur? Do you have what it takes? Do you have drive and passion and desire, but you just don't know how to put it all together? Well, we have got the show for you. Join Daniel O'Griggs. Each week, he's going to break it down. Daniel's going to show you how to go from A all the way to Z. It's the Inspired Daily Grind with Daniel O'Griggs.
Look, if you got an idea, please go with it. I'll get back to the intro here in a minute later. And I'm saying this because me and my wife are riding yesterday. No, was it yesterday? No, it's Saturday. No, I forget what it was. Anyways, me and my wife are riding. We're in the truck riding. Got our baby girl in the back seat. We just got some food, taking it back to the house. And I was like, babe, I got this idea. We need to go in on it. She's like, I don't know anything about technology. I say, you don't have to know anything about technology. The idea was actually inspired from you. So pretty much, I don't want to give too much details with the idea because I still may do it. But I told her about it. She was like, oh, like this app. I said, what you talking about? There was a moment of silence just like that. She's like, this app, it does exactly what you're talking about. And my heart was crushed. I had that idea in mind before that app was even released. So this podcast doesn't have anything to do with ideas and stuff, but I just wanted to mention that before we even hop into anything. If you got an idea, I don't care if it may be all the way thought through, may not be picture perfect at the moment, just go with it. Like, get some started and move. You don't want to be in a situation like I just had. Like, my heart was broken. I may still do the app, but we'll see, because exactly what I was thinking was literally exactly like an app that's already out. Anyways, Daniel Griggs, this is the Inspired Daily Grind. If this is your first time listening in, we talk about entrepreneurship, everything else that's, you know, whipped into it per se. I love to talk about the beach selfies. Nothing wrong with the beach selfies, but at the same time, don't be fooled, because there's a lot of hard work behind it, or there's a lot of fakeness behind it, because a lot of people will do things like that. But look, we talk about the real stuff. We talk about simple stuff. It's people out there that don't even know how to go and file a DBA or do an LLC. Hell, I didn't know how to do it myself when I first started my business. There's a whole bunch of things you got to do, a whole bunch of different hats that you got to wear. It's a buildup, right? It's a relationship. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a hit it and quit it type of deal when you talk about entrepreneurship. It's a relationship. You got to figure out so many things. If you're in a relationship, or even if you're not, and you always hear, like, especially when you're married, you're always learning something new about your significant other. Like, no matter how long you've been married, it was a couple that was like in their 70s. And the man was like, you always learn something new in your marriage about your significant other, even as time goes on. I mean, you grow. As people, we grow. Same thing with your business. Your business grows. You continue to learn things. You keep going forth, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? So always understanding that entrepreneurship isn't just something that's just like there and gone, or you figure something out and it's like, oh, I can put my hands behind my back. I don't have to do anything anymore. I know people that are like CEOs, of course, owners and founders of multi-million dollar corporations, and they still put in work and they still are learning things new. And if you don't keep learning, you're going to get passed up. So that's what the show is about. It's your first time listening. If it's not, regardless, I definitely appreciate your ears. You can go and listen to all of my past podcasts at danielogriggs.com, or you can go to iheartradio.com and you can just search Inspired Daily Grind. You can also go to Empower Radio and look up Inspired Daily Grind with Daniel O'Griggs. So today we're going to go a little different. Of course, like, we're not talking about anything about ideas. I just had to get that thought out of my head because it was kind of like, that was bothering me. I don't want that to happen to anybody else. If you got an idea, flow with it. But today's going to be a little different. Like, I'm gonna go over this article that I read, and it's by Forbes, and it's an article that was like published like in 2013, but it was cracking me up because it has some questions, and it's pretty much the article just talks about, if you're thinking about being an entrepreneur, like, these are 17 simple questions that you should ask yourself, and I'm gonna hop right into it, and I'm gonna elaborate on some of them, so we may not get through all 17. If we don't, maybe I'll like do a continued or to be continued to some on another podcast. But at any rate, I'm going to definitely post that article. If you're on danielogriggs.com, I'm going to definitely post that article on this podcast link. So this is the first question. What are your motives? Now, check this little commentary out. There's a great chance you won't make money, get famous, or accrue significant power. If any of these motives is the primary driver, I'd highly suggest you opt out immediately. Startups require passion and persistence, which flows from purpose. Find your purpose. Man, when I tell you this is every bit of truth, and I especially my first year, I made below what minimum wage is. I don't care what state you in the United States. Like, I made below minimum wage. And that's what it was about. I mean, of course, my mind was on money in regards to paying bills, taking care of my family and whatnot. Not in regards to, you know, going out and buying an Aston Martin or something like that. I'm not even an Aston Martin kind of person. I'm a truck kind of guy. I'm a Texas boy and I'm a country boy. So I like trucks. But anyways, my mind was only centered toward like paying bills and doing things like that. Like, that was my motive. And as I always say, almost on every single show, my mentor told me, base everything on the lifestyle you want to live and then go and pursue something. And for me, my lifestyle, of course, was flexibility. Everybody says they want flexibility, but you want flexibility for different reasons. I wanted flexibility for my kids and for my wife. So take my wife out to lunch, pick my kids up from school, take my kids to school, be able to make it to all their sporting events, etc. Even though my kids are young, you know what I mean? I got two of them. One of them playing, like, they play basketball, t-ball, soccer, and stuff like that. But even still, just being able to make it to those events and not stress about, for me, not stress about having to ask somebody to take off work or something like that. You know what I mean? But, like, for me, my motives, that's what my motives are based on. My motives were based on family, of course, taking care of my family and having that flexibility. So in regards to just like making money, I know it says there's a chance you won't make money. It's like they're being very blunt, and it's funny to me, but they're being very blunt, but it's very true. Even people. So one thing about a lot of people will kind of get confused is, as I said in the beginning, entrepreneurship is a relationship. It's not a one time and things are done. There are people, and I post this, I talk about this so much, and I post it on LinkedIn almost every, well, I'll say every single, I'll probably say like every other month or something like that. There are people that are millionaire. Let me rephrase that. There are people that gross millions and still struggle, like struggle a lot, because there's a lot more things to entrepreneurship than just making sales. You hear Damon John talk about it often, especially in a retail sense. Like, you got to think about margins. You got to think about that includes like overhead and all other types of stuff that you have to worry about. You know what I mean? What are my margins? I'm doing 30%, 50%, 70%. And then some of these things really apply to the industry that you're in. Some industries, they make, you know, a lot of bang for their buck. Let's say it's a builder, for instance, right? I don't care what you do. You can do custom decks. You can do actually building homes or whatnot, but let's just throw out a price and say, you know, the average project that you do is 50 grand. You know what I mean? And you count up your cost and you know how much it costs for your guys to go out and build it. All you do is map it out and draw it up or whatnot. You got your crew to grow and finish the job or what have it. The margins that you have in that industry for everything you total up may be completely different than how you have to look at it from like a retail perspective, because price points may be a lot lower. If something is $14.99, then you start thinking about like if it's a product with a label or something like that, then you're thinking about manufacturing, how much it's costing for each product that you have to push out. Like, do I have to order these in bulk? Am I ordering as a customer orders in? You got a whole bunch of different things that you have to really worry about. So in regards to money, it's not always how many sales you bring in. It's a lot of the other little things, staff that you're paying, overhead that you have to pay. I mean, you can count stuff like if you have an office somewhere, or even if you don't have an office, locations that you have to go to. Like, how much money are you spending to drive back and forth to those locations? These are all little things that you really have to pay attention to in regards to making money. So when we're talking about making money, it's not just like, hey, I grossed X amount in sales. You have to talk about all the things that everyone else doesn't see, which is your books. You know what I mean? Like, what are my margins and breaking these things down? That's one thing that I'd look at, like, not at the end of the year, but just like, well, of course, the last quarter of the year, but like September, October for me, like, okay, you know, what did we gross total for the year? What are the margins looking like? What am I spending here? Is it any money that I'm just wasting anything on? And it's not even marketing. It could be just like, hey, am I doing too much eating out somewhere or something like that? You know what I mean? Like little things. I pay attention to all that types of little stuff because it starts to add up. You know what I mean? And so when we talk about making money, it goes all into that. So when someone's talking about your motives and, you know, get famous, you can get famous. But of course, it seems like everyone's famous these days because all of the followers and everything else. You can be famous in the own sense of just like a certain little small community or whatnot. But let me tell you this. Being famous doesn't technically pay the bill. You know, you can get a whole bunch of followers or whatever it is on like YouTube and stuff like that. I know YouTube will start paying you for views and all this other stuff. But to really bank on a lot of this stuff, man, it takes a lot. It takes a lot of time, takes a lot of effort, takes a hell of a lot of followers. So in regards to motives, I don't care if you are thinking about starting your own business or being an entrepreneur and going full-fledged into it, or if you're already an entrepreneur. Like, always think about your motives, even if you have success. Like, what are my motives? And your motives change over time. You know what I mean? I can take care of my family now, of course, but now it's more of like, I hate to put it this way, but I'll kind of say like it's a game. Like, I'm a very goal-oriented person. So I make these really big, big goals that I can reach, but it's going to take a heck of a lot of effort on my part. So this just kind of like, that's the goal setter that I am. So now my motives is more of, of course, always taking care of my family, but just being able to, you know, set these big goals, go after these goals, and then just accomplish them. Like, that was number one. So we definitely not going to get through all 17. So the second one is, how comfortable am I with failure? Startups are hard and failure is guaranteed. The fear of failure is paralyzing and will lead you to make poor, short-sighted decisions. Even if the startup succeeds, there will be plenty of broken promises, unfulfilled expectations, and disappointment. Can you handle it with determination and grace? Boy, when I tell you that's on point. That is like on point. Failure is going to happen. Like, definitely going to happen. And I tell you, like, this is the exact same thing. When this talks about failure, but let me give you another word that relates closely to it. Rejection. That's one of the number one things, especially when you're talking about sales. I was talking to a networking buddy of mine, good business associate, and actually I met the guy on LinkedIn. And he was saying, I think it's like 82% of people that are supposedly great in sales or good in sales aren't really that good. Pretty much like they may be good in within a system or a certain industry, but when you're talking about just like straight out sales, like you can just sell, it's a very small amount. So when you're talking about rejection, like if you're anything in sales, you're definitely going to get rejected a lot more. You're going to get a lot more no's than you hear yeses. You know what I mean? And so, as I always mentioned, I was doing cold calls when I first started. I did not have money to market to anything. My marketing was the phone bill that I was already paying for. And I was picking up my cell phone and I was punching numbers and I was calling. Like, I was doing cold calls all the time. Just cold call, cold call, cold call. And I got rejected a whole bunch, like a lot. But I didn't let that, I mean, now, don't get me wrong. Like, I would get rejected sometimes and I'll be like, man, like, especially if you got a cold call list, you're excited, you got the list out, you got your point of contact you think you need to hit, you got the phone numbers, you got down what you're going to say. And like the first five people you call, like, no, quit calling me. All types of stuff like that. Man, when I tell you, they can get discouraging. Like, don't get me wrong. I got some really thick skin, but I don't care who you are. That right there can kind of be like, man, that was tough. They can get discouraging. You know what I mean? But I kept going. I kept going on. And so I will push through, man, and I will continue to make the cold calls and I will continue to stay on point and poised with how I would pitch and everything else. And if you've ever done cold calls or drop-ins or anything like that, you know that it's tough. Like, you know that it's difficult and you know the type of rejections, the rejections that you can get. So when you're talking about failure, like, failure is guaranteed. And it's tough, man. I mean, especially when you have these high expectations. When you have really high expectations, like, I got a great product, I got a great marketing campaign. I know the people I want to target. Let's go. As soon as you get out there, you bam, it's like a red button. Bam, get back. And now you're like, man, what's really going on? I thought this was going to be a lot easier. If you're on Instagram, you got to follow this guy named HaHa Davis. And I say that because you will go into your sales and you will go into your cold calls or whatever marketing you got, thinking to yourself, this is about to be a breeze. And when you go into it, you'll hit rejection. And even if you don't, like even if you do get just like a lot of love from Jumpstart and things are going great, at some point, it's going to happen. At some point, you're going to get rejected. At some point, you're going to have some kind of failure. I met a guy, he was a potential client, and they didn't really, well, they needed it at the moment, but the first year, he told me they grossed like 1.4 million or something like that. Like their very first year out of the gate, grossed like 1.4 million. I was like, man, that's great. He was like, yeah, but that was one of those, like we had a really big order type of deal. Now it's the second year and they've only grossed like 300K. And he's like, he said, the thing is we have to figure out how to figure out marketing. Like we have to figure out how to get relationships with clients that aren't just like this one big PO. You know what I mean? Like there's not just this one big client that's just going to give us millions up front, because now we don't have that client anymore. But because we had that client, we just banked everything on them and we don't know how to get other clients. You know what I mean? So and I mention that because that's just a situation to where it's like, boom, there's a great and substantial amount of success from Jumpstart. But now as time goes on, I know it's 1 year to the second year, but that's 365 days. Like that's a long time of like things are going great. And now you go into this next phase, which is your second year, and it's like, shoot, we don't even know what to do. And it's like we're back at being a startup per se, which you still are, but it's like we're back at being a startup and we don't really know, like we don't know our target audience. We got to figure this out because we can't bank on getting one big deal anymore. It's not like we like to get one of those again, but we don't really know who our audience is. It's just going to keep us afloat. So there's just a situation of having a lot of success. And then at some moment you have a failure. And then sometimes that may not even be the case. Man, one of my good friends and, of course, a mentor as well, business was going great for him. He continued to build up. I think it was like his fourth year, something around there. And he said that, like, he had a really bad sickness. Like, he got pretty much what it came down to him was he wasn't getting enough rest. And he had something in his brain, like he had like really bad sleep apnea or something like that. But he had something that happened and pretty much hospitalized him. And it hurt his business like really, really, really bad. And so he was just saying, like, you know, all the success I had, like that one little thing, you know, it didn't just like ruin his business in terms of he couldn't run it anymore. Like it was, he had to shut it down, but it was like it hurt it a lot. You know what I mean? And I don't care who you are. It takes a while to build your business up to where you can step away and you have like a whole team that completely runs it to the max. You got a sales team. You have project managers. You have assistants and all these other people that if you're going to step away, if something happens to you, let's say for a month, like everything will still run smoothly. That takes a lot. That takes a ton to really build up. And a lot of people think they're in that position, but you're really not. You know what I mean? So failure can come in a lot of different ways. You know what I mean? So, but like the article said, it's guaranteed. You know what I mean? And you'll make a lot of like, you can make a lot of short-sighted decisions. I know I mentioned one time before, a lot of people don't really understand. Like people will have amount of success. It doesn't matter what year. And then they'll make decisions like short-sighted decisions like, I'm going to take a vacation for X amount of days. I'm not going to answer any emails. I'm not going to answer any phone calls. Like I'm going to completely block everybody out for the next, we'll just say week. And I'm going to talk to people that are entrepreneurs and small businesses. you don't know how, like, you should break down how significantly or the significant amount that your business is dependent on you. Because you can't just be like, oh, we get leads coming in all the time or emails. I'll just answer them when I get back. If you have any small problem or something that arises or pops up, most of it, well, 99% of the time, you're going to have to be the one to handle it. Not your assistant, not your manager, not anybody else on your team, not a technician or what have you. Like, I'm not saying don't take vacations. I take vacations with my family. I don't take any personal vacations, just like me and just sitting around. But I take vacations with my family, or, you know, me and my wife will go on a vacation, just us, once or twice a year. Then it's us and the kids and whatnot. But I have my phone on me. I'm not on it like all the time. If I got a problem or something like that happen, I'm able to handle it. Like, I remember one time we went to the beach and I had a client. We launched a project and it was all types of problems that happened with it. And like late that night when everybody was asleep, I was up late, like on the phone with my developer, emailing the client, like pretty much just rectifying the situation. Now, while business was going good, imagine if I wouldn't have been available for, like, let's say a week or 4 days or something like that. That would have been horrible for my business. So that's the difference. You know what I mean? And just understanding, like, those are situations that can cause failures, right? So that was only the second one. We only getting to do like three of them. Maybe we'll maybe touch four today. We got a few minutes left. So I'm going to go through the third one. Which of my responsibilities will be disrupted by starting this company? You don't live in isolation. You have responsibilities to your family, your friends, your community, and perhaps your current employer. What will be disrupted by this endeavor? Is it worth it? Yeah, we definitely only going to get to three today. So I got to go in on this one for the last few minutes. Talking about responsibilities, as I said, from jumpstart, mine was about flexibility, but being able to take care of my family. And I got a lot of responsibilities. Of course, I got a wife. I got kids. Not only does it have to be money to pay bills, but time as well. My wife wants time. My wife wants time. I definitely got to give time to my kids because they need the time. Like, got car notes, got mortgage. Man, I don't know about it. Like, I didn't have a scholarship in college. I got student loans, and a lot of people can attest to that as well. So there's a ton of responsibilities that you got to think about. Now, me, I had a whole bunch of things. Like, I didn't have like a set job. As I, you know, I mentioned them again, Walgreens. I was long gone from Walgreens. So it wasn't like I wasn't in a situation to where it's like, hey, I'm working a 9-to-5 job or, you know, ten hour shifts at a job, and I'm trying to build this business at the same time. And I'm trying to, you know, I'm contemplating and trying to figure out, hey, when am I going to leave this job? Because if I leave this job, I got to think about benefits. If I leave this job, I got to think about the fact that I have a, you know, consistent paycheck or something like that. Like, I didn't have that problem. Probably would have been a good problem to have because I didn't have much at all. But anyways, I didn't have that problem. So mine was just like 100% grind with everything. Like, I was doing I was a personal trainer at the time and I had clients, but I was moving away from that. You know what I mean? And so as I was building ATX Web Designs, I was gradually moving away from personal training, and I was making a lot more money doing personal training than I was, of course, at the moment with ATX. You know what I mean? So just responsibilities to your family, you know, your friends. I'm a huge family person. Anybody that's a really close friend to me is pretty much just like family, you know. So I had a lot of responsibilities, still have a lot of responsibilities, you know what I mean? And it came to my mind all the time, like, you know, a lot of things are going to be disrupted. The sacrifices that I made, most of them was not totally on like my family. Like, it wasn't like I missed sporting events because I had meetings, or I wasn't at home with my family to eat dinner, and like little things like that because of meetings. Like, things like that mean a lot to me. That's just how I was. That's how I was raised. It doesn't mean you have to do it because you was raised that way, but it meant a lot to me, just like from a standpoint of it just means a lot. Like, I want to be here for things like that. Most of the time, I was always here for the things. I would have some really late meetings and stuff like that. I did have meetings sometimes that I have to go to on the weekends. You know what I mean? It got really hard to balance out knocking out work when I was here with my kids getting stuff done. Because I tell you now, if you're an entrepreneur and you got kids, you know for a fact, if you're trying to do work on your laptop or computer or phone or tablet or whatever it is, or text messaging or something, and you got your kids in your ear, you will get annoyed and snap on your kids. Like, I'm being just 100% authentic. You will. And be like, stop and yell. But like, you got to track back and think to yourself, look, I can hold off on this. I can't go off on my kids like this. You know what I mean? Or my significant other. Like, things like that will happen, but you got to learn from it. And you got to really understand, you know what I mean? Like, when you're making those type of decisions. So just the responsibilities and how things will disrupt it, and then just figuring out, is it worth it? For me, I knew it was 100% worth it just because I had that vision. I was going to chase that vision, and I was going to go through with that vision. So, like, we only got through three of these. I'm going to stay with these. There's 17 of them total. I'm not going to post the whole article just yet, but you know what? I take that back. I'm going to go ahead and post the whole article so y'all can see it. But we're going to get through all 17 of these. So this is Daniel O. Griggs. I'm out of time. I chat with y'all next week. Thanks for listening.
Join Daniel next week as he takes you through another walk of how to become a very successful entrepreneur. It's the Inspired Daily Grind with Daniel O. Griggs.